Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I am delighted to speak with my friend and also member of the Supercharger Website membership, Sarah Latham, who is the owner of friendsandcanines.co.uk, which is a natural dog treats retail business. Sarah and I met a couple of years ago when she answered an ad that I ran to recruit 100 small business owners to help me test my WordPress build course, the WordPress bootcamp, where I got those poor souls to try and build a WordPress website in less than 21 days. And we talk about that process of how Sarah built her own WordPress website, but then also how she's gone on to grow Friends and Canines to a very healthy, sustainable, viable business. And it's just such a great chat to hear about the approach that Sarah had to her business, the challenges that she overcame to being able to commit time to it and grow it, and just get her take on the things that she thinks have worked. And I'm hoping that you'll enjoy our chat too and find inspiration for how you could either get started with your own business selling, you know, a product or a service that you love, like Sarah does, from your own website. And if you are doing that and you're struggling to find time to really commit to going all in with your business, perhaps you've got a day job or you've got kind of other commitments, then hopefully listening to Sarah's story can give you some inspo to know what to do next as well. I will catch up with you right at the end of the episode, just to kind of give you all the links and info for how you can find Sarah. But for now, please enjoy, and I'll see you soon. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. So I'm delighted, absolutely delighted to have you on my podcast to chat with me finally, Sarah. I feel like we're gonna go through some big topics in this chat, and we're gonna unearth some things about what it takes to grow like a successful online business as well. But so hello. And welcome. And do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background? How did you get started with where you've kind of got to today? Were you always a dog treat seller?
No. So it's quite a new change for me. I've been a dog lover, dog owner all my life. My parents had a dog before I was born, but I've never been without a dog in my life. But my background is in retail. So from the age of 15, I've done various jobs in retail, offices, admin, all that kind of thing. When I got one of my dogs a few years ago, Harvey, he inspired me to change their diet onto a fresh diet. And that led me down the natural treats route. It just inspired me that, you know, this could be a business idea. There could be a gap in the market that I could fill.
So you were already like employed full time when you had the idea for Friends and Canines, right?
Actually, it was just a bit of a hobby. You know,
the business was a hobby, right?
Yeah. So it just started out as a hobby. And it was just a little idea, you know, if I'm buying dog treats for mine, you know, if I can sell a few at the same time. And so, yeah, it was just a hobby, something I like to talk about. So
why? Quite interesting, right? Because a lot of the best most innovative business ideas out there come out of a need that people have personally. So it's really interesting that you're a dog person and you wanted to give your dog something better to eat for health reasons, and that's kind of, you know, where your business like sort of subsequently grew from. How many dogs have you got at the moment, Sarah?
Just the six at the moment.
Oh, only six.
Only six, yeah.
Only six. Tell us, what's life like living with six dogs?
Once you get over three, it doesn't really matter how many you've got then. So various friends' dogs come and stay as well. So, you know, obviously not lately due to the current situation, but usually when people go on holiday, I've always got somebody's dog staying extra. So it doesn't really matter once you get, you know, more than three.
I mean, I'm not sure, like I can imagine that personally, because my house is pretty busy with like two cats and two children. But do they all need walking at the same time? They all need feeding at the same time? Do they all stay with you on your bed at night?
Only four sleep in the bed. So yeah, it's all right.
Only four. I love that. Do you have a favourite, Sarah, is the question.
No, we possibly could not say we have favourites. Rebel is not my favourite at the moment, seeing as she doesn't like to stay in bed after 5:30 in the morning, even on a Sunday. So she's in the bad books at the moment.
Love that. So I'm really interested that you had this background in retail, actually. That's how I started out working. I started working as a salad bar girl and florist girl in Asda's on a Sunday morning. And then I went from Asda's to Tesco's doing bag packing and personal shopping. I worked in the airport in WH Smith and in World Duty Free as well. And then I've worked in Jessup's in like the camera store. I've worked in clothes shops. I've done a lot of selling, and I didn't stop really until I then moved into selling advertising in my kind of proper London career. What was your first job in retail?
So my first job was McDonald's. McDonald's. I then moved to Lidl supermarket and then to Tesco.
You all end up at Tesco eventually.
I know. So yeah, I was in management role. And then I decided to move out of retail as such. Yeah, and then I decided to move into the more admin roles, loads of paperwork and admin stuff. It's all served me good for running my own business, to be honest.
Well, that was my next question. Do you think it has then? Because I found that like being in a retail environment, being so young, like my first job was when I was 15, meant that I was quite good at talking to customers. I understood the concept of selling, upselling, the buying process. I mean, how do you think it's kind of led to you understanding how retail works in your own business?
Yeah, I think it's really helped me to understand. And as much as, you know, I do buy in bulk, huge bulk to get the discount that I need to make it profitable to be able to split. It's also understanding that, you know, it's all right buying stock, but if you've got stock that's sitting on your shelf for too long, that could be money that's in your bank. So it is very much a balancing act of how much to buy, when to buy. If products aren't selling, then you do need to cut them out of your line, or if they're becoming unprofitable.
Yeah, I mean, just taking it back to the supermarket analogy, I guess, is like on the salad bar on a Sunday, like we'd have the certain lines that we'd have to push and, you know, clear down because, you know, no one had ordered any more and they go stale overnight or go off or whatever. Understanding like how to push them and how to merchandise them and putting them at the front of the salad bowl area in the kind of the vegetable section. And it's in the same way as making sure you put things in the bargain bin, you know, when in a place where consumers are going to walk past. It's like all of those classic retail tricks and tips for getting consumers to buy, you know, still clearly like really apply to kind of modern day online product businesses. So let's dig deep into Friends and Canines then. So it was established when as a business?
My website was launched in November 2019. I had started a Facebook page just a couple of months before that, and it was Facebook only for a few months. And it was soon apparent that, you know, I needed a better, easier way for people to buy.
So what kind of had led you to think that then? Is that it was just the amount of like interest that you had on the Facebook page?
Yeah, so this was before Facebook shops. When I started, it wasn't that they could even shop on Facebook. It was just I could add pictures and descriptions and prices of my products into, you know, an album on Facebook. And then people would have to message me with what they wanted to buy. Then I'd send them the cost back with a link to pay. Then they'd message me back to say when they paid with their address. So, yeah, it was a very long, outdrawn, complicated system. So, obviously,
well, it's just a manual system, really, isn't it? Yeah. It's like the equivalent of being on a market store, what, you know, whereas you've got to kind of communicate by messenger inbox. So, like, that time, those few months when you were, like, selling from your Facebook page, how did you let people know that the business even existed? Like, how were you getting traffic to that Facebook page? Because, you know, it's talked about so much about how little reach Facebook pages have. Like, less than 5% of your page followers will see your posts. So, you know, how did you sort of make that work for you?
So I didn't even use any kind of Facebook advertising at the time. It was literally word of mouth. So I was, I'd say, lucky at the time that, you know, people loved my service, loved my products, and told their friends. And it was literally just word of mouth and people sharing and people going, you know, I've got these great dog treats from this girl on Facebook, go and check her out. And so, although I was getting busier, growth was still slow. Yeah, as you say, Facebook's great for social, but actually for selling, you know, it can be hit and miss. And, you know, Facebook does control what it shows and when it shows it to people. So, yeah, there was definitely a need to get bigger and better quite quickly.
And just to finish on the Facebook thing, did you... Was there one post or one thing that got you well known? Because word of mouth in what I would consider such a short space of time, that meant that you knew, okay, I need a website now. It does take time to build. You've got to show up. You've got to be relentless. You've got to post all the time. You've got to link your page in groups that are going to be suitable for you. You've got a network online. Like, but, you know, you kind of managed to make the kind of leap to the next level, why are you needing a website in just a few months? So yeah, was there like one post or one thing or one product that did it for you?
Yeah, I'd like to say it was introduction of the selection boxes, just so people suddenly thought, what? I can just have, you know, a £20 selection of different things. I haven't got to buy 2 kilos of the same treat that, you know, my dog either might not like. So yeah, once we introduced the selection boxes, they were just flying off the shelf.
And what gave you the idea for that? Were you observing how your customers bought from you, or did it just like arrive in the shower as an idea one night? Like,
A little bit of both, to be honest. People would say, can you tell me what would be best for my 6-month-old puppy, or what would be best for my 2-year-old big chewer? Can you do me like a sample box? And so I don't really like the word sample, because, you know, I can't give somebody half a chew stick and say, see if your dog likes it, because you're not getting the full experience. So yeah, it just came about that I said, well, tell you what, I'll do your mix. I'll send you a couple of different things, see what your dog likes. And then I thought, yeah, we should just add that as a product and just say to people, you know, do you want a selection? Let me pick what I think your dog would like and see how it goes. And I have plenty of customers now that are repeat selection box orders, because they just like getting a different thing each time.
Love that. Next in your story, I can make an entrance, can't I? Because we met when you came and helped me test my WordPress bootcamp course back in 2019. And I invited 100 business owners to come in and learn how to build a WordPress website for free and get mentored by me over a 3-week period. You were the only one out of everyone who rocked up and went, yeah, I mean, this is great, but I want to go next level. Can I build like a WooCommerce, like a shop version of a WordPress site in my 3 weeks? And I was like, well, what? Like, yeah, I mean, we can do that, but it's a lot of work. And you were like, you couldn't be swayed. You were totally up for it. And I said, yes, of course, we can do that. So everyone else built a WordPress website using Divi, but not Sarah. She was like, nope, throw it all at me. So you worked incredibly hard over those 3 weeks and you built your own WordPress website. That was the whole point of the course. And I guess for me, that was amazing to see that someone could follow my my teaching and kind of get that at the end of it. But for you, like, how are you feeling about building your own website before we started?
I mean, I did share with a couple of friends, and I was still working full time at that point as well. And I did share saying, yeah, I'm building a website in my spare time. And they were like, what? I didn't know you were that computer minded. And I'm like, well, I'm not, but I've got this lady that's like tutoring me and it's like a step-by-step course. And they were like, oh, is it that easy? And I'm like, no, some days I'm just crying because I don't know what I'm doing. But when you see the progress that you make and you see your pages coming to life, it was really amazing. And to be honest, I know it was really hard to build it in 21 days, 3 weeks. But without that kind of time constraint, I think, you know, 6 months on, 8 months on, I'd still been tinkering, where actually, because we had the time constraint, you know, and you were supportive all along the way and you were like, let's go live. And the day that we went live and straight away I started getting sales, it was amazing.
What made you decide, actually, when you saw the WordPress bootcamp recruiting, that you wanted to build a WordPress website? Why WordPress and WooCommerce and not, say, Shopify or BigCommerce or one of those platforms?
I had done a little bit of ad hoc work for a lady with an online shop before, and hers was WooCommerce and WordPress. And so when I saw it and I thought, oh, actually, that might be a little bit familiar to me. That might make it a little bit easier. And to be honest, I'd never heard of Wix. I'd never heard of Shopify because I'm not computer minded at all. So, you know, I've only used the things that I've used in jobs previously. So when I saw the advert and it was WooCommerce and WordPress, and I thought, oh, actually, that sounds like I might be able to do it.
So it definitely helped, like, being aware of the tech before you like made that plunge and kind of, you know, got on with it. And the fact that you were making sales pretty much from day one just shows how much of a demand for your products there were and how in tune you were to how your customers wanted to buy from you. Let's kind of like go post website then. So you're running Friends and Canines, you're getting sales on your new website. Like, how were those first few months of kind of running an online website store for you? Like, what did you have to do to drive traffic to your website to get those sales?
So once the website was up and running and testing and working correctly, I started running Facebook ads with your support. Going through the testing of the ads. So, you know, how you run the same ads with different pictures to see, you know, you can't just say, oh, this is a great picture, let's roll with it. So we run the same ad but with different pictures to see actually what do my customers like, and the same but using different copy. So, you know, asking different questions to see if that makes a difference with people clicking and then people buying. Because you can have people clicking on ads, but then not actually buying. So So it was a big test and a big learning process.
And tell us about your approach with emails as well, because sending out regular emails is a really important part of driving traffic to your website of people that want to hear from you. So how many people did you have on your email list when you started?
I think it was just me and you when we started.
Was it? Okay. So I vaguely remember that we started out on MailChimp, right? And
yeah,
it possibly was just me and you. So how many people have you got on your list now, if you don't mind saying?
I've actually just cleared it out. So I've just got rid of all the unsubscribers and the non-openers, because, you know, if people aren't engaging with you, you might as well read out. So we're on 1800 at the moment.
Tell me about getting to your first 100 subscribers. What did you have to do?
To grow my email list, we added a pop-up to the site. So, you know, it was a discussion that we had in the group about, should you offer an incentive to join the email list? So, you know, a discount off your first order, or what should you do? So I've tested both ways. I have had 10% off your first order, and I've taken that back off at the moment. And at the moment, I do email exclusive offers. So rather than giving everyone that signs up a discount off an order, if you do stay on my email list, you will get exclusive offers that are email only. And that seems to be working really well at the moment.
When you said group, that's the Supercharger website membership group, right? Because you were like, I think you were like one of the first 10 people to join, actually. Yeah. Weren't you? You were in the original crew. So, yeah.
Once we got the website built that quickly and, you know, I started taking orders straight away, There was no doubt in my mind that I needed to sign up and where it could take me.
What I've loved seeing in the Supercharger website membership since you've been in there, right, is the evolution of Friends and Canines, right? From that first, should I offer like a pop-up? Should I do discounts? To like some really forward-thinking strategies that inspire everybody else in the membership. Like you came up with, like, you didn't just create emails, right? You've created the Woof Mail. Is that a weekly newsletter?
Usually, yes. I have slacked last week. But yes, usually I do like to send out a weekly Woof Mail. So yeah, you know, it's not always about sales. You know, it's nice to give your followers just, you know, a little funny story or, you know, something that's going on. Nobody wants to be sold to all the time. So, you know, just share a little funny story with them.
I love that. And you also run a blog as well, like a regularly updated blog on the website as well. And what kind of content do you publish there? Like, because a lot of people listening to this are like, yeah, I've got a product business and I don't blog because I can't talk about my products every week. It's really boring. But how do you get around that?
I think if I did talk about my products all the time, that would be quite boring. I just talk about other things. So obviously, because it's a doggy business, other things that dog people like. So this week we have a chemical-free slug treatment for your garden. You know, how can you make that? Then we did do healthier treats for your dog. Recently I've also had first aid tips for your dog. You know, there's so many other things. You can invite other people in to write guest blogs for you. My dog trainer wrote me a blog about why you shouldn't leave your dog outside shops. You know, it's not always got to be about you and your business. I invite my followers to share their dog's story, how they got their dog, any funny story that's happened with their dog, or this is my dog and this is what they like, they don't like, their hobby. So we have a bit of fun with that, and people write in from their dog's point of view.
I love it. Like, I think it's great. And can you tell us about some of the kind of PR activity that you've had as well? Because that's been another great traffic driver to your website, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I have featured in my local newspaper a couple of times. They run a story about me launching my new business. And then also when I'm a Celebrity started on ITV, I came up with the idea to run a bus trucker trial dog box. And so that got me into the local papers just as a bit of fun. And also I've got a few doggy magazines that are sharing some articles about, you know, healthier treats for your dog and why you should reduce the amount of chemicals in your dog's diet.
You've been featured by online influencers as well, haven't you?
Yes. Also, a very famous holistic vet talked about me and my treats on his weekly live on Facebook. So that was fabulous.
Like all of these things that have been driving traffic to your website, like the Facebook ads, the emails, writing blogs, getting known for your keywords, like the PR activity, like influencers kind of mentioning you as well. Like, how did you manage this whilst you were working a full-time job? Like, how easy or difficult did you find it?
To be honest, it was quite difficult, just time-wise. Once it got to the stage, you know, that the website was getting really busy, you know, I'd come home from a 9 to 5, sort the dogs out, start packing orders, and it was relentless. You know, the weekends were just taken up by packing orders, getting on with stuff. And it does come to that point where you think, this is it, I'm going to have to change something.
So how long was that after first launching your website? Were you like thinking about making the decision to go full time with Friends and Canines?
It was only 5 or 6 months when I was like, this is ridiculous that I'm really struggling to have time to breathe. So, yeah, we were really crazy. Really
shy. So what were the next steps then? What happened?
So yeah, I did inquire with my day job if I could reduce hours or, you know, work a shorter number of days. And initially that was agreed, but, you know, long term it come to the realization that it wasn't going to help.
So 5-6 months after starting your online business with your website was when you thought, I need to quit my day job and launch into like my online business, my side hustle full time. I mean, Sarah, like that is the dream of many people, but it's a pretty scary decision to make. What was the tipping point for you? What was like the, yeah, this has definitely got to happen like today. Oh my God, I need to make this my full-time business, my full-time effort and kind of not focus on anything else.
I just absolutely loved my business. You know, and I still do now. And just when I was going to the day job, I was sitting there thinking, oh, that'd be a good post. Oh, this would be a good thing to talk about. And yeah, the point where you aren't actually thinking about your day job anymore, you know, and as a single person it was very, very scary thinking, I'm not going to have this regular income coming in, I've still got to pay my mortgage, can I do this? And eventually it just boom, you know what, it's make or break. I'd either got to make the leap and make the website full time, or, you know, potentially close it down, because I couldn't do both and there was no way I was going to let my business fail. So yeah, I made that big jump, and to be honest, the first 2 months I panicked. Panicked looking at my bank balance, like, I don't know what I'm doing, what have I done. And
what got you through those 2 months then?
The growth in sales was absolutely crazy. once it was getting my 100%, and you could just see the huge incline. And I mean, it was growing fast anyway, but once it was getting 100% attention, orders were going out quicker, customers getting replied to straight away. You know, I was putting so much more time and effort into blogs, into just posting on social, and the growth was phenomenal.
I mean, I'd say, right, that you've got a product that is just brilliant in many ways, right? Your natural dog treats, right? These are products that people will need all year round. They're not seasonal. We're a nation of dog lovers, so we're always going to be buying dog treats. And actually, the trend in dog diets has moved towards a kind of a more natural approach as we get more aware of the things that are actually put into standard dog food and standard dog treats. So you have a product that you can only succeed, really. It's a busy marketplace. I mean, I've worked on dog food brands myself back in my e-commerce days. What do you think it is about Friends and Canines that has enabled it to kind of go next level for you and become, you know, a full-time business that kind of makes you enough money to forget about that previous day job? Like, what is your secret sauce, do you think, that kind of brings your customers back again and again?
I'd say that I'm a real genuine dog owner. You know, I share with people, these are my dogs, these are their struggles. You know, I've got the fussy little one, I've got the puppy, I've got the big dog that needs a big chew, you know. And I get that not everybody's stupid enough like me to have six crazy dogs, but yeah, I'm a real person. I'm a real dog owner. You know, if you've got a problem, drop me a message and we can chat about it. You know, I'm a real person with real dogs and there's nothing...
People want to buy from real people. They want to buy from small business, you know, and absolutely, like, they love the interaction. They love the personality behind small businesses. I love the fact that on your about page, you've got a picture with you and all six of them. Rebel's on that picture as well, even though she's been naughty, right? And, you know, you have done that PR where you integrate yourself into your business. You kind of don't hide away from it. I definitely think that that's kind of what's, you know, made you really appealing. Aside from that though, like, what's been like some of the more tougher things about running your own online business since you went in it full time? Like, what's a typical day look like for you as well?
So I have had to work hard on making myself a routine. I really struggled at first, like, oh, I'll do a bit of this, do a bit of that, you know, but I've had to really structure my day now. So I get up, quickly check in with the emails to make sure there's, you know, nothing emergency off a customer, like they've put the wrong address in or the wrong details in for the delivery, or they need something urgently. And then I just get on with the orders. And then afternoons, I tend to look at my admin, my advertising, my marketing. But yeah, it's really important to try and make yourself a routine and not, you know, or just check into social media and then, you know, it's hours gone by and you've not got anything done.
Down the scroll hole, as it were. Well, that's the thing. When your business starts making money, right, and you're responsible for paying, you know, your own bills, possibly even hiring people and, you know, kind of starting that ecosystem, once you've gone beyond, I've got a really great idea, I hope it sells, to where you got to, which is, yeah, you've got an idea and it's selling. How do you scale it up? It does take over the old day job, and your old day job, all of our old day jobs had structure. We had a process. We had the way things worked, and, you know, aligning ourselves to kind of that as we kind of are scaling and growing our businesses is really important. And you mentioned, like, like that focus was like a something that, you know, you kind of had to work on. What are some of the other kind of tougher sides of running a small business that you've experienced since going out on your own?
I have faced a few difficulties from my family saying, you know, when are you going to get a real job? And I'm like,
it is a real job.
And then, yeah, my mum messaging me, are you watching Loose Women? No, I'm working. She's like, she really didn't get that I was at home and working, you know, and people wanting to drop in or call you for a chat. And you're like, I know I'm at home, but it is a job and I need to treat it as a job with working hours. Yeah, if I want to, I do give myself a couple of hours off in an afternoon and take the dogs out for a walk and whatever. But it does mean that I'm working them couple of hours back, say 6 till 8 at night. But, you know, that's the upside to being self-employed, that you can choose your own schedule. But you have to be realistic that, you know, if you only want to put in a few hours a week, that's what you're going to get out.
Right. I mean, I can't agree with that more. I think we have this vision sold to us about the 4-hour work week, like Tim Ferriss and everything, that you can, you know, run a business from the beach. But actually, from the sounds of it, you're checking in, you know, one-to-one with your clients, with your customers. You're answering your own emails, you're packing your own orders. I guess part of what you do is negotiating with your own suppliers as well. And, you know, like managing the day-to-day mechanics of running your online store as well, like running WooCommerce, making sure it stays up to date, right?
Keeping the website up, running, secure, safe is, you know, a big, big deal. So checking in with it every day, you know, without fail, you know, making sure that all your security is up to date. But yeah, just customers, you know, even on a Sunday afternoon, somebody wants to drop you a message. Yeah, it's easy to say, I don't work on a Sunday, but unfortunately, I do look at that message and I say, you know what, it's a quick 2-minute reply.
It's a slippery slope.
I know, I'm bad for it, but you know, if that customer says, thanks very much for the quick response, I'm putting an order in now. So I don't do orders. I don't pack orders now on Saturday or Sunday. They do wait till Monday morning. That's what's building my income now. So, yeah, I do try and switch off now. But, yeah, I don't go into the stock room on a Saturday or a Sunday anymore.
Very good. I'm the wrong person to speak to about this because I get told off all the time about how I cannot switch off. And I totally empathize. So just sort of final things now. It's fair to say, right, and I know this from conversations that we've had that we don't have to reveal here, but the business is doing pretty well, right? And I'm interested to know, like, as you've grown, how have you managed the scaling up, like selling, you know, more stock than you've ever sold before, buying more in than you've ever bought in before, having more customers, email subscribers? Like how have you dealt with that scaling up so quickly?
So this isn't paid by Vicky hasn't asked me to say this, but there's close network in the membership group. And there's a couple of people in there, you know, we inbox, we support each other.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah. If you can find a business bestie or, you know, a group of people where you can go and talk about what's going on in your business and have them listen, is invaluable, right? Because I like just with my husband as the case in point here, because he never listens to this podcast, right? It's not that he's not interested. It's just that this is what I do for a living, right? And he's like, oh, you do your thing, I do my thing, right? So I can't bore him with the ins and outs of running, you know, a membership site, you know. And there's certain people, I guess, in your life, like who would be like, oh, she's banging on about dog treats again, right? Like you've got to find the right people to talk to about this stuff who are going to be genuinely interested every time you have a business win. And like, you know, a membership and finding business besties is a way to do that.
So yeah, I've got a couple of close friends in the membership, and you know, it's a great place to chat with people and share ideas safely, because I think in a lot of Facebook groups you don't want to share things because people are always like looking out for your ideas. And but yeah, we've got a great network in the membership group.
You know, we can talk more than, you know, just about websites as well. Like on our Friday wins post, we get people to talk about the win that they've had from the week, you know, whether it's writing a new post or like a client that they've won, or, you know, hitting their targets or whatever. And, you know, it was brilliant when you came into the group and was like, I've just made page 3 of my local paper.
Yeah, I was a page 3 girl that week.
You were, yeah. And I just love that because, you know, everyone was so happy for you, and just like you inspired others as well. And I think that's the important part of finding like the right place to go and share your stuff, because like you said, you don't want to just share it anywhere. You want to share it in a place where people are going to be genuinely pleased and excited for you and want you to do well. Some of the kind of key takeaways of chatting with you, Sarah, right, that I've kind of pulled from our chat has been that I'm starting to believe this now. To run a successful business, you need to have a genuine interest in the thing that you're selling, right? And it helps that you're a dog owner for life, with, you know, lots of pups, and you're interested in their well-being. It's just made what you do and showing up for what you do so much easier, because, you know, your dogs make you happy, their well-being makes you happy, talking to other dog owners makes you happy. Like being in that space means it doesn't feel like a chore, like you're doing something that you really enjoy. And I love that. And I think, like, if anyone's listening to this thinking, yeah, I mean, it's all very well, but, you know, I'm not doing something I love, then maybe you should find something to sell online that you're genuinely interested in, because it just makes showing up every day that little bit easier. If you're just selling for the sake of like selling and trying to make a profit, then you're probably only going to get so far before you lose interest. Like having that passion really helps you do these 7-day weeks like Sarah was talking about, and kind of show up when the bank account's not looking that healthy, you know, when you try and like, you know, make it as a viable business. But the other thing I'm loving about what we've chatted about, Sarah, is that I think you have a genuine passion for listening to your customers, right? That has come out again and again in the conversation that we've had today, right? Is that you listened to them in the beginning about, you know, the things they wanted to buy. You shifted and changed your products, you know, to create the treat boxes because of conversations that you'd had with your customers. And you've created emails and ads and blog posts specific to what they've responded to. Like you have a genuine interest in your data and what your customers love. And as your business grows, like I hope you never lose that connection that you've got with your customers. It's totally inspiring. And I think that's the secret sauce to how you've been able to grow and run your online business so well. I mean, like you clearly like love what you do and you love your customers, right?
Yeah. I mean, we all know salesmen out there, like Spammy Simon.
Simon.
Yeah. So it comes back to, you know, we can all be trained to sell anything, but do you actually sell that with a passion? Are you actually, you know, using, loving that product? And I think that's what people get from me and my site, that, yeah, I'm here selling dog treats, but yeah, I've got dogs. Yeah, I've got variety. Yeah, I've got a small. Yeah, I've got a big. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to go and get loads of whatever they sell, but it does make a difference. You know, in small business, if you can demonstrate the love that you've got for your product.
Oh my God, thank you so much for coming to chat with us about Friends and Canines and your business and everything that you do. You are a total inspiration, Sarah. So I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is going to be like, amazed at like what you've accomplished, and maybe, just maybe, you've inspired some people listening to this to give it a go and maybe ditch their day job to create their own online business, or go full time with their own online business if they've been putting, you know, that off as well. So like, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. And yeah, I would say if you're thinking about it, do try it, but you do have to put the time and the effort in. It's not an easy road, but then if it was easy, then everyone would be doing it.
Hey, it's Vicky again. So thanks so much for listening to that episode. It was so much fun to record with Sarah and just have a nice chat and a bit of a natter, really. If you want to find Sarah online, then head to friendsandcanines.co.uk to go and take a look at her website. Sarah also runs, as she spoke about in the episode, a Facebook page and a Instagram account, which is Friends and Canines Dog Treats. And on Instagram in particular, you'll be able to see a picture of the aforementioned naughty rebel who seems to be keeping Sarah up. I still am doing my Clubhouse review sessions on a Friday morning at the moment. So it's 10 a.m. UK time on Clubhouse. You can find me at Hey Vicky Jakes. And I'm doing those with the very awesome Colette Stevenson, who joined me on this podcast a few episodes ago. So if you want your website reviewed in less than 5 minutes, come and join us. It is turning into a bit of a thing where people are going away, actioning the advice that we're giving them, and then coming back to tell us what happened when they did. And last week we had some brilliant feedback that the actions that we had recommended to someone's sales page had resulted in sales the next day. I mean, it's just awesome. What other platform could you go and have convos like that? That's why I love Clubhouse so much. All right, that's enough from me. Thanks again for listening. Please remember to subscribe, leave a review if you really enjoyed this, because it's reviews that help us get seen by and heard, more importantly, by more people around the world. This week, we're taking over Canada. So we've made it into the top 100 marketing podcasts for Canada. Who knows where we're going to end up next? So yeah, like and subscribe and leave reviews to kind of help us on that mission. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.